I'm not going to read all of Matthew chapter 13, although I'm going to speak quite a bit about it and use up to this parable. And then in September, when we talk about identity, I'll probably use the same scripture. So if you have a scripture or you don't have a scripture yet and you want to read through a chapter and just churn some stuff up and really let God to speak to you about identity in September, which is going to take us into October and really hearing the Lord, then that'd be a good thing for you to do out of this Matthew 13. So I'm just going to start with verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Then go down to verse 18. I'm going to read 18 and 19. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Or just keep your Bible open to there and just pray. So, Father, there's going to be seed scattered today. And it's not just going to be my voice. It's going to be what you want to say into our hearts. Stevie started with we want to hear you. And that's the voice we really want to hear when we come in today. And Jim said to the kids, Jesus is your favorite teacher, your best teacher. And we want to say like our kids, you're our best teacher this morning. You're our best teacher tonight. You're our best teacher tomorrow. Doesn't matter what age we are or where we come from, God, we want to learn from you. We want to have your life in us and through us, and we know that that doesn't happen accidentally. It happens on purpose as we surrender to you. So we do that right now. We just surrender to what you want to say and to you, what you want to do, what you want to expose in us and what you want to heal in us at the same time this morning. We thank you for that. We trust your word. We trust your Holy Spirit to speak to us today, and we honor that this morning. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to talk about the kingdom again. I'm in a series, kind of an on and off series since we've had different people speaking. It's called the Counterintuitive Kingdom, and I've made some statements about the kingdom of God, and I want you to remember that Jesus almost never, if ever, talks about the church. He never talks about church style. We know it was his custom to go to church. We know that Jesus regularly attended a service, a Jewish service. We know that. We know that he regularly did things of Judaism in his religion, but he came to proclaim not a new religion. He didn't come to proclaim a new way to do something. He came to proclaim a new way to have life instead of death within us. It's a new way. So it's a third option. It's not rebellion or the world. It's not religion or the church. It's a third option. It's something different. It's something completely different. I can see the church with my eyes, and I can hear the church with my ears, and I can hear the world with my ears, and I can see the world with my eyes. But this kingdom, it takes a different set of eyes and a different set of ears to hear. So when he's saying to hear and to see, he's saying to hear and to see what you haven't heard and seen before. Not to listen to something and go, check, I agree, check, I do that, check, I like that. He's looking for that third option, that something different. So I want to challenge you, as I'm prone to do, I want to challenge you to listen anew and listen afresh. And I don't mean just when I'm talking this morning or just when you come next Sunday or just when you read your devotional, but in the middle of your marriage to listen for the kingdom word. Don't try to figure out, is my husband right or am I right? Because God's the one that's righteous in the middle of that. And he's the only one that makes your marriage the marriage that's the marriage of your dreams and of your heart. When you're parenting, don't figure out, should I discipline them this way? Should I discipline them that way? What does the rod mean? Or should I do this? Or just say Jesus and lean into him. And that's that third option that you want. That's a third option. It's a counterintuitive kingdom. It goes against the way that our carnal self is wired. And it goes back to the days of the Garden of Eden, where we were able to walk with Jesus while being naked. Not Jesus, God, the whole thing. You know what I mean? But it goes back to that. We're looking for that kingdom. We're looking for that slice of that tangible kingdom that is right here and right now that we're available to participate in and step into. But if we're demanding to know everything, to get everything right, to have everything lined up in the right way, we will never be able to see the counterintuitive kingdom, this third option. We've got to release from not just our addiction or something bad. We've got to release from everything we've held on to good. Everything we've decided, this is how everything operates, and I'm going to pray that God operates this way also. Instead of every situation and every moment saying, you're a good God. You're my best teacher. You're my favorite teacher. In relationship to you, I don't know anything in my finances. I don't know anything in my marriage. I don't know anything within my healing that I need, but you know it. But instead we go, I'm going to run around and choose this, or I'm going to run around and choose this. And once we've chosen, we begin to judge each other on what we've chosen. They've chosen poorly what TV they should watch. They've chosen poorly what politics they are a part of. So what it really is, it's this third option that blows everything else out of the water, and it's counterintuitive. It's counter what you want it to be, because it can't be something that you can control. If you can control it, then you become the God, and God becomes the servant because you've learned how to pray and do everything just right. Now he's forced to bless you. And God doesn't play that kind of game. He's looking for relationship and intimacy, like in the Garden of Eden, where he walked with Adam and Eve in complete openness, complete transparency. And then they chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were able to decide all the time what was good and evil. And just think about that. The two perfect specimens looked at each other. And they looked at each other, we don't know for how long. And they found themselves beautiful and perfect and unnecessary to hide, unnecessarily to close themselves. And in one moment of deciding, in one moment of making the wrong choice, one moment of choosing that they will become the chooser, they will become the decider of what's good and evil. In one moment of not choosing life, they begin to judge each other, and they begin to judge themselves. They begin to dislike themselves, and they begin to see imperfections in the other. And Scripture tells us they put on clothes. Normally, we think that they put on fig leaves, and that's all they did. But they put on fig leaves to hide from one another, but they also go to the forest to hide from God. So this kingdom takes us out of both of those, where we don't need to hide from each other. We don't need to hide from God. We come out and we enter into this third way of thinking, this third way of being, this third way of feeling, where everything is lined up to the perfect model and the perfect teacher, and he guides us as we are his small children. When we were praying this morning, I just had this sense of everything that we start, every Sunday morning, every journey, everything that we start comes out of our Father's lap. Everything that Victoria as a 6-year-old starts comes out of my home and my goodness, doesn't it? As they get older, they can go find their own things. But we think that we're adult children of the Almighty God, when really we're 2 and 3 and 4 or just a few months old like Jonathan. We're constantly in need of care and guidance, and that's this third kingdom, is for us to enter in like little children, and not just to enter in and, oh, I got saved because, and I was like a little child, and now I've been forgiven, and I'm going to heaven, and now I need to get to work and be a good person. It's this counterintuitive place that comes in, and it begins to destroy even our own judgment against ourselves. It begins to destroy the division that we have because of doctrine. And we begin to look at things differently. And that's what I want to talk about today. So in this scripture, in this kingdom, this sower, the sower that's sowing the seed, he's not taking one piece of seed and planting it in a row that's really carefully furrowed out and it's really great soil. And he goes, now there's one seed and that's going to come up as something. And there's another seed, you know, 30 inches away. This sower is reaching into a bag and he's grabbing out seed and he's throwing it. He's generous. This sower is a generous sower of the seed that he's sowing. He's not only generous; it's almost sloppy, it's almost wasteful. How much seed God is sowing in our direction? We think, though, God is giving us one seed at a time. Here's one seed. Here's one thing I want to tell you, and I only want to tell you it in church or when you read the right stuff or if you have the right translation or if you've been a good boy today. I'll give you one seed. But this, our God is reaching in on an unlimited bag of seed, and he's sowing it all over the place. And we have an image here of he's sowing it into rocky places, into thorny places, along a pathway. He's sowing it everywhere, and he's sowing it every day, in every moment of every day. And he's not sowing it generally to the wind, and he's not sowing it generally just to the church. He's sowing it specifically to you as individuals. To you. He has words for you, has seeds for you that he's wanting to get to you. And he's lavishing those words upon you. He's lavishing those seeds upon you. So what is the seed? Well, if we go back to verse 18 and 19, look at 18 and 19 as he comes along and he, listen to what the parable means. In verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, hears the message. The seed that he's sowing is the message. It's not the message that, oh, you have to get saved or you're going to go to hell, or the message of you shouldn't do this and you have to do this to be a good Christian. It's a message that he's sowing directly for you with your name on it, a seed tailor-made for you, multiple seeds every day. And so the sower is generous, and the word of God is there, and the word is being spoken in every situation and every time. It's true for Daniel in the lion's den. The word shows up, doesn't he? The word shows up with the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. The word shows up, the word of God, Jesus, he shows up himself. He shows up in these situations. The word is there, and the word is the word, the spoken word that will identify you, that will heal you, that will change you, that will shape your memories and change who you thought you had to be. That word is there. And this is the word that we're talking about. This isn't a salvation message here. Well, it is, because salvation represents the entire enchilada. It represents the whole thing of the kingdom. It's not just I got saved and that's it, but God has all the resources backing you to become that person you hope in your heart to be. And I don't mean to be a better missionary or a better pastor or better something like that. I just mean in the fullness of who you are, whether you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He wants you to have that life and that life more abundantly. And that life comes in so much by what we hear. And we are so prone to turn our ear to something different and something wrong. We are so prone to go to our favorite speaker. Or now I have to go to church today because I feel bad. Or something happens, so I'm going to go listen to something. There's nothing wrong with listening. But how would it be if you never allowed your kids to talk to you, or they never wanted to talk to you, and they always went to neighbors to like give the message of what they wanted or what they needed or how they hurt? Wouldn't you feel awful as a parent? Yeah, we have a Heavenly Father, and us as kids are always going to somebody else. And we believe in good teaching, we believe in leadership, we believe in spiritual counseling, we believe in mental health counseling, we believe in all of those things, and those are just helpful tools. To do one thing is to hear the Father speak to us. So we believe in the prophetic. We had a prophetic service at Lee and Sally's here about a month ago. We taped the words, we transcribed them, we handed them out. We had some instruction on what do you do with the prophetic word. But those are only words that are meant to open you up to hearing Him, the only one who loves you, the only one that can really heal your soul, the only one who can really tell you the rest of the story. And so when we're looking for those words, they're words that come from Him. They don't come by accident. They don't come because you broke a leg. They can come through all those areas. But we can hear Him just by saying, God, what do you think about this? God, what do you want to do in my marriage? God, what is my part in what's going on here? And we don't have to be in church to ask it. We don't have to have a Bible in front of us to ask it. We should be, if we believe in a generous sower of seed, we should be asking Him in the middle of while we're viewing pornography, in the middle of our depression, in the middle of our fights in our marriages, in the middle of the worst times with our children, we should be asking, what are you saying about me, to me, for me? He's speaking life to you. He's speaking direction to you. He's telling you the path to healing. And yet we run to all different people and look for a path to healing. And it's Him. And I mean healing in every different way. God is sowing his word generously over the world today. We have more books written, more tapes, more CDs, more podcasts, more video podcasts in larger churches and better technology than we've ever had before. His word is generous, yet seed like manna is good for the day. It's good for now. We want fresh seed. Everybody say, I want fresh seed. I want fresh bread. I want fresh bread. I don't want to pull something out. We had some guests over and we had to pull out frozen bread. How bad is that? The jerk who stayed with us, no, I'm kidding. He's like, go down to Panera Bread and get us a good loaf of bread. It was all a joke, but we had frozen bread because we don't eat a lot of bread. But I want fresh bread. I don't want to like take it, I'm going to cut some mold out of this or have one piece of bread in the freezer that I pull out and say, this is a word God spoke to me and I don't want to eat it because I won't have any for tomorrow. I'm just going to nibble on it because this God is a generous God and he's sowing abundance towards you. And that abundance, that seed, is so important to us. It's so important that we get that. It doesn't matter if you're a school teacher or a home mom or a homeschooler or you're retired or you work in a company or you own a company. It doesn't matter what you do. That seed is important for you. Because God is the greatest entrepreneur in the world. He's the greatest businessman in the world. He knows where all the oil and gas is, and he's the greatest salesman in the world. He's the greatest teacher in the world. He knows everything about you, and he knows everything about anything you've ever done and ever could do and ever could hope to do, so why not ask him? It goes back because we're afraid of him. We say we love him, he loves us, he's all of this, but right here, we're afraid of him. We don't think he's that generous. He's generous to other people, but he's not generous to me. I'm here to tell you today, he's generous to you. And this word, it says in Scripture, this word, when planted in you, will produce 30, 60, 100 fold. It will make you, this word, when taken internally in you and set in you into good ground, as we see in this fourth example, it will not just add to you, it will multiply your life. And we've been in this, we like the seasons where we get added to. Well, I no longer get drunk that much, or I no longer do this that much, or I no longer need help with my rent anymore. We do little incremental things, and God wants to do these multiplication things. So our life is completely opposite of what our choices said our life should be. So I'm a completely different person than how I was 20 years ago. Not because I worked really hard and I've contained everything and managed everything and had some surgery to surgically remove some of the ugly things apart. It's just that this thing of Jesus has come and wrecked my life. And he's done it through seed. Plant it within me. I want that. So in verse 14 and 15, you just go to 14 and 15. We're not going to talk a lot about this. It's Jesus referencing out of Isaiah, a prophetic word, and it's kind of like an opposite, so it's a little bit confusing passage, so I don't want to go into it today, but so we've gone over the sower is generous, and the seed is his word, and we are desperate for his word. We're desperate for manna. We're desperate for his word. We're desperate for him to say and do something in our lives. And I think mostly what we've learned over the last couple of years and what Jim teaches a lot through the Liberty Project is he's speaking all the time about who are you. Not go get to work. Now that you're in my kingdom and you're a servant, go out and get to work. He's speaking identity. He's not speaking fivefold ministry or anything like that. That comes maybe later. He's speaking children. He's speaking, you're my son, you're my daughter. This is how I made you, and I think it's awesome. I told a young man the other day, I want you to go home and I want you to thank God every day for how he made you. Every day, thank God how he made you. And figure out how he made you and thank God for that and move in that direction. So look at this, and I know it comes out of Isaiah. I know it's a word that Jesus is using and speaking and sharing this, and he's using it kind of as he flips it around, but I think this is what happens. He's saying just that I don't want certain people to hear, and I don't want certain people to see, because if they do, then what? Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Is he talking about these eyes and ears? No. He's talking about something much deeper. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. His word, this word, is healing. You want to be healed. You have an area in your life, a past, a memory, a recurring sin, an incessant sin that is always there that you always turn to when things go bad. And I mean sin as far as I always go to anger. I always go to physical addiction. I always go to depression. I always go to alcohol. I always go to this. I always go to working harder. I always go to more prayer and more Bible study, hoping beyond hope that more of the same of what didn't work will now work. Because Jesus says, not more of that, more of him, more of that seed. There's healing. And in every area where you need healing in your life, including your mind, including your emotions, including past memories that haunt you, there's a seed to be planted right next to that seed. And that seed will take over, and that seed will even break up rocky ground. If you have just a little bit of good ground, it'll break up that rocky ground. It'll break up that pathway. It will choke out and kill and take up the root space for those thorns and those weeds that are right next to that. Because the enemy does something really, really horrible. He plants junk right next to the beautiful seed that God wants to plant. So there's the sower is generous. The sower is sowing the seed that's word, and the word is healing. And I mean in healing in every area you can imagine. There's not one area of your life that God doesn't want to heal. He doesn't want to touch. And we know he can do it like that, and we've seen some of that where it's just done really quick. A lot of it is process where he keeps saying, depend on me. Come to me every day for seed. Look just to me for seed. Come right to me for healing. And so when we look at this, this is a generous God wanting something for us, wanting to give us something. The most difficult thing is most of us have been taught that a mature Christian has lots of information and they don't have to have transformation. And I think that just makes God sad and sick, and if he gets really ticked off. I think he gets really ticked off by people who use that. I have a lot of information, so I'm the more mature one. Really, maturity looks like righteousness, peace, and joy. It looks like the fruit of the Holy Spirit bubbling up in your life. It looks like that in us. It looks like I used to be super angry, and now it's like way down here. I used to get depressed all the time, and now my joy level is just increasing like crazy. And the only thing I can tell you is that God spoke to me, and a seed was planted, and it's being fruitful, and it's growing, and it's wrecking things in my life that I thought I would have told myself, I'm just this way. I'm just an angry person. I'm just a depressed person. I'm just a person that can't get along with other people. So the seed is healing. If you'll understand, if you'll get this seed in your heart, it will heal you. It will heal you. And everybody in here, from new people that I don't know to people I've known for 10 or 12 years, or my mom I've known for 51 years, she's known me. I don't remember her before 3 years old. That's my mom, by the way. Jim kind of mentioned that. That everyone in here, there's more and more healing. There's more and more healing. And that is the gospel of the good news. The gospel of the good news isn't I got saved, now I know where I'm going, and life is miserable for me, and I can judge everybody for not knowing what salvation is. Salvation is a giant thing. Sounds funny, huh? But that's how most of us participate in the gospel of the good news. That's how most of us share it. It's this brilliant, amazing, sloppy, wasteful use of an unending source of seed and joy and hope and grace and peace. And that's salvation. So what we find though in this, and this is where it all comes down to, that seed is vulnerable. That seed is vulnerable. And that's what we see in this. And there's multiple ways to look at this, but the word can be stolen. It can die. It can grow up and never produce fruit. There's nothing more irritating than a fruit tree in your yard that's not producing fruit. But I think a lot of us have that. We have some flowers, we have some greenery. We even fit into a fruit arbor or a fruit, what would you call it? Every time I think of fruit, I think of drive-by fruiting from Mrs. Doubtfire. Orchard, thank you. An orchard, we even fit in, but we're so used to Christians not producing any fruit. We're so used to polishing our leaves and protecting our trunk, but we don't grow and produce. We're supposed to grow to be big, mighty, strong. We're supposed to grow that even in a time of drought, when the river dries up, our roots anchor in. When there's firewood needed, there's timber on the ground, there's fruit in the air, there's a place for shade, there's a place for birds, there's a place for everything. That's who we're meant to be. Not just me. Not just you and your finances, or you with your good kids, or you with your good marriage. It's every other area in your life. It's every boat in the harbor being lifted up because of the seed and the sower that's there that's giving life to us and life more abundantly. And it's amazing. And that's what we declare as the gospel of the good news. That's what we declare. That's the declaration. So the seed is vulnerable. I want to go back to the seed is stolen. Now, the seed is stolen. We could rebuke Satan forever about the seed being stolen. But it's your heart that's hardened when it's stolen. Satan's just taking advantage of your heart condition to steal that out. Satan's just taking advantage of the word dying when your heart is not churned up for him. Satan's just taking advantage of allowing you to be happy of being a green yet fruitless Christian. He's not making it happen. He's just taking advantage of it. We should be dissatisfied with being fruitless. We should be happy that we're no longer dead in sin. We should be happy that we're no longer the seed on the pathway getting stolen on time. We should be happy that we're not just in the gravel and it sprouts up and then it goes away. But when we get to that other place of where it sprouts up and there's no fruit or the thorns choke it out, we shouldn't be happy there. We should be always moving along. We should be always wanting more of him, more of life. And some of us are halfway done with our lives. Me and Jim are. I mean, he hates it when I put him in the 50s when he's only in his 40s. I mean, but you know what? There's so much more. There is so much more that we have to have in us, that we have to give. Now, what we see in the scripture is that our part is not the part of the seed. Our part is not the part of fruit. Our part is only being good ground. That's my only part. That's the only thing I have to do. I don't have to try to grow anything. I don't have to try to be a good Christian. I don't have to know everything about what the Bible says. I don't have to follow all the rules. I have to open my life up. The only thing, good soil isn't holy soil. Good soil isn't, I haven't sinned for a long time. Good soil is Abba Father. I open myself up. I open myself up to a point of receiving. And we see that with the sower, that the ground, when we sow something, the ground receives the seed. All of these other, the ground either doesn't receive it in the first example or receives it, but then rejects the seed. My only part is to receive, and it comes from surrender. It comes from submission. It doesn't come from submission to a denomination. It doesn't come from submission to a way of ministry or to a church or to a pastor. It doesn't come from submission of anything else except for him. And so my job is to find out, where am I not surrendering? Where am I not in submission? Where am I not opening myself up? I don't mean in a general area, because I think you could do an exercise and you go through and you could put a bunch of seeds, like my relationship with my spouse, my relationship with my kids, my finances, the stewardship of my finances, my physical health, my time, how I use my time, and you could put a tree there and you could say, God, is this a tree that's fruiting? Is this a tree that's fruiting so much that I have so much time that I can help other people? I have so much finances that it's overflowing, that I give it out to the community. I give it out to other people. My business is doing so well that I'm going to go ahead and help somebody else start another business. My marriage is doing so well, but I'm not just going to protect and be, oh, I'm happy with my wife, it's all managed really well. But it's so good that my marriage just overflows on other marriages. My parenting, I'm not trying to get people to do something that I did, but they're like, what is that about? That's the abundance. So are you living in that abundance? And I don't mean abundance in one area or two areas. I mean allowing God to take that seed and scatter it everywhere into good ground and have that come up. And this is why we see oftentimes in our lives where you can be sitting next to a person, could be your spouse, but don't look at your spouse now, okay? Where we could be in the exact, have the exact same teaching, the exact same thing, and one person begin fruitful, and the other person not to be fruitful. In fact, for that ground to actually go from thorns to rocky to hardened, it can even go from fruitful to thorns to rocky to hardened. So the seed is vulnerable to our hearts. There's a promise. There's no promise if you go to church a bunch. There's a promise if you will surrender to Him, He'll know how to live your life through you. And that's what we want. And it looks differently to all of us. It looks differently to all of us. My level of healing and my emotions would be different than your level. The manifestation of my freedom might be to never drink again in my life. Manifestation of freedom for somebody else might mean to drink. Manifestation of freedom in somebody's life might be for the next year I'm going to be in church every day because I've struggled about church. For somebody else it might be, you know what? I'm going to miss church every once in a while because I never have in my life. So it's those levels of freedom that we have from that fruit that goes on. But we're meant to be a people of fruit. We're meant to be a people that are producing. We're meant to be a people that are shipping our fruit to our neighbors, that we have an abundance. And what we've learned to do so much is, I have a lot, I'll gain it, I'll keep it. I don't mean finances. I have a lot of joy. I have a lot of love for this activity right here, but it's mine. I don't want anybody butt in on it. It just gets messy. We're meant to engage people. And you know what? We're not meant to use all of our fruit, all of our abundance here in the church only. The joy, the singing, the art, the stuff that you guys do, the fun that you have, the sports that you play, all outside of church, living your lives big and loud and happy and changing all the time. And that's how we're supposed to be. In your mind, in your relationships, is that seed. So when we talk about hearing, and Jen did that a little bit with the Gladneys, when we talk about hearing, we're talking about hearing and letting that seed be planted in there. And let that seed do something. And valuing that seed. But if we're always listening to others and allowing space for other seed that cannot produce life, the seed of religion cannot produce life. Paul says it produces the very same death that staying in the world produces if you go towards religion. And so we want that life and that life more abundantly. Anybody else want it? Yeah, I want it. That's what I want. I want that in my life. I want it in my health. I know the scripture says that the goodness is in the fat of the land, but I want it to be in the land and not in my in me. So I want good health, physical health, mental health. I want friendships. I want relationships that are thriving, that are good, that are growing. I know you guys want that. I hope you want that. And it comes from one way. It comes from seeking the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. Not seek good religious values. Not seek good religious practices. Those are all can be important. They're all a thing, but they're not the thing. We seek after one thing, and that's Him. That's God in the form of Jesus via the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's what we seek. That's the only thing we seek. Everything else comes secondary. And it's not like really close to number one. It's way past number one to seek ye first the kingdom. That way, that counterintuitive way, that third option, that God option. Let's bow our heads. So Father, we thank you for that intimacy of relationship that is at the core of what Jesus came to give us. We thank you for the restoration that is available upon salvation because of the resurrection. But God, we don't want to limit ourselves from we're unhappy now or dissatisfied or struggling until we die. We want your abundance, and we want the work of salvation to take place in our minds, in our hearts, in our emotions, in our lives, in our pocketbooks, in our offices, in our neighborhoods, and in our homes, in our bedrooms. We want that work to take place, Father God. So we ask for that. We ask for that to take place. We ask to see it taking place. We ask to see where we're buying seed, we're purchasing seed that is of no value. where we're running after seed that cannot produce life, that cannot produce fruit. Show us where we have a storeroom of fruit that we're supposed to unleash upon people around us, Father God. Show us. Speak to us more and more. And let us hear more and more. And put our effort towards believing you and what you say about us. We thank you for that in your son's name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.